And if you didn't notice, we did change up the scripture in front of the children's message. And just since we're just a few of us here, the idea behind that is so the kids can hear the scripture before we do the kids' message. Because I think it's important that they hear the scripture ahead of time before they would head off. So we're going to be trying that out for Lent and see how things go with that. If you would, please pray with me. God of ages, God of all power, all might, all life comes from you, Lord. And we thank you for bringing us here this morning safely, for bringing us through the storms, hopefully keeping us warm. Lord, we thank you so much for those that are at home, that couldn't be here, that want to be here, that are worshiping with us in their hearts, Lord. We pray that you would speak to us today. You say that when two or more are gathered, that there you are with them. And so, Lord, we pray that you would reveal your presence to us today. God, I ask that you would move me out of the way so that your word can be proclaimed, so that we might know the hope that we have in you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you feel like you need to go on this immediate trip in the wilderness, do you? The Spirit is compelling you to go into the wild. Well, I want you each to consider some things. First, are you even trained to go into the wild? I hear you want to go. Sorry. You feel compelled to go into the wild for 40 days. But again, are you trained? I mean, I don't think, and I might be wrong, I don't think you're the Bear Grylls, man versus wild, survivor, man kind of person. But again, I could be wrong. So in that case, you might want to consider hiring a wilderness guide for your journey. Wilderness guides are very helpful on long expeditions into the wild because the guide knows the way. He or she knows the land, the animals that you might encounter, the climate, any other dangers that might come up in your travels. And of course, the guide knows how to survive in that area for that amount of time. And the guide knows this because the guide has already been there, hopefully. He or she's already experienced it before. At least make sure that you find one that has experienced it before. Because of the guide's experience, she can offer insight into what to do when facing certain situations that you'll encounter. For some people, it might be as simple as getting a fire started. For others, it might be finding food or water in the wild. And then there is that nagging concern and question of what to do when you walk up on an animal that you really don't want to walk up on, like a bear or a mountain lion or something like that. See, the wilderness guide, again, knows these circumstances. They know what it feels like to go through them. The guide has started a fire before and had to start one for the first time, so the guide can teach you how to do that. The guides had to find food or water before in the wild. And again, they had to learn this. And so they can teach you and show you how to do that. And likely, if she's been doing it long enough, the guide has probably snuck up on an animal or two that many people wouldn't even want to meet face to face in their wildest dreams or nightmares. See, the guide's been there. The guide's done that. And can help you do the same. If, that is, you really feel compelled and you feel the need to go into the wilderness, as you say you do. And so here's the thing. We are in the wilderness all the days of our lives. Let me say it again. We are in the wilderness every day of our life. And so today's scripture talks about the baptism of Jesus. And we discussed that a few weeks ago. But then immediately after his baptism, he's driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he was for 40 days. And it says in verse 13 that he was being tempted by Satan, and he was among the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. See, Mark doesn't go into too much detail on this temptation in the wilderness. Mark's gospel has a kind of immediacy to it. It's very urgent in getting his message of the good news across because they didn't think they had enough time. They thought Jesus was coming back at any minute because Mark is probably one of the earliest gospels to be written. And so he doesn't mince words. He doesn't fluff images up. He gets to the point. And so if you want more details on the trials that Jesus experienced in the wilderness and that was compelled by the Holy Spirit for him to go into the wilderness, then you need to look at the parallel chapters. I put these on Facebook yesterday. If you're not on Facebook, I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out how to get it all together. But I put these on Facebook yesterday. They are Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Those two texts, plus the Mark Gospel text, provide the details that are not in Mark's passage. And because of the amount of time that we have, I'm not going to really go into those too much. I'm not going to open those up. But I do want to recommend that you check them out this week. But to give you a summary, in both of those passages, we learn more details about what Jesus' trip in the wilderness looked like. Although the order of the temptations is different in each Matthew and Luke, the temptations remain roughly the same. So Jesus is tempted by Satan in each account in three ways. And the first way was Jesus was tempted by his human desires and needs. That is, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days. He was compelled by the Spirit to go into the wilderness for 40 days. And so Satan tries to attack Jesus and tempt Jesus into giving in to turning a stone into bread before his 40 days are up. So the temptation to sin isn't so much that he was going to eat, but he had set apart this time. And so it was turning this before the time was up, turning this into bread before the time was up. And so that was the temptation for Jesus to give in to those human desires to eat. And so that was the first. Now the second was tempting Jesus with power. See, Satan took Jesus up to the highest point so that he could see all of the kingdoms of the world. And Satan put them before Jesus. And he said if Jesus would just bow down to him, then Satan would give him all of the power over all of the kingdoms in the world. And so the second temptation is that Jesus was tempted by Satan with power. Finally, Satan tempted Jesus by calling out his pride. By calling out his pride. See, Satan says something like this, if you really are the Son of God, Jesus, if you really are, anybody ever say something like that to you? If you really can do this, you know, it's that calling out of pride. And so Satan calls out Jesus to throw himself off of the highest point of the temple in Jerusalem, and that way, if he really was the Son of God, then the angels would save him. They wouldn't let any harm come to Jesus. And so those are the three ways in which Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And so in each of these ways, Satan was trying to tempt Jesus into giving into the temptations. And that is where the sin would have come about. See, Satan was trying to get Jesus off of the plan in which salvation would be offered to the world through his death on the cross, which was the atonement for sins and the resurrection to the life in which all who would believe in Jesus can be saved and brought into that eternal life, that is the life to come. And so I want to be clear about this, is that it isn't a sin to be tempted. It isn't a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. But it is a sin to give in to those temptations or to tempt others. And remember, Jesus did never give in to that temptation. And so I would argue that Jesus is the perfect guide for us in our own wilderness of life. Jesus is the perfect guide. He's the hope that knows temptation. Because Jesus has been here. He's navigated the wilderness of life as being fully human and fully divine. And we can see his humanity all throughout this gospel, the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has also done this before. He's overcome temptation. He didn't give in to the temptations of Satan. He didn't do it here in this passage and not anywhere in his life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 reads, "This high priest of ours, Jesus, understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin." And so Jesus can help us to do the same, to not sin. He can help us. He can guide us through God's word, through the Holy Spirit. He's there with us at all points of our lives. We don't have to pray for him to be with us because he is with us. He says so himself. He says he is with you forever. But most of all, Jesus can help us because he's been where we are, facing temptations in the wilderness of life. He knows what it's like when we face them. He knows what we need, specifically what we need to overcome those temptations when we face them. When we're feeling like we're being crushed from every side with temptations in our culture of lust, of greed, of power, to break from God's plan and God's will for our lives and to go on our own path, to want to do our own things, to value ourselves as more than others, to breed hate. I don't know if you've watched the news lately. I don't know how you couldn't. But there's this stuff going on in the Middle East with ISIS. 21 Christians, Coptic Christians, were beheaded this week. And so that wants to conjure up this hate in our hearts for those people that did those heinous acts. And Jesus said that if we even call a man stupid, that we've committed murder in our hearts. So we have to be careful about that hate. We have to go to God with that hate. We have to go to God with that anger because I am so angry about that. I am so angry to see these Christians dying for their faith. I'm angry to see anybody dying, just the terrible ways that they're dying over there at the hands of these ISIS soldiers. But we need to go to God with that hate, with that anger for them. We hate the evil. We hate the evil that's being committed. We do. God calls us to hate the evil. But the persons, we need to pray for the persecuted as much as for the persecutors. Because I read something that just blew my mind. This prayer this week was from this I don't even know who said it. But the prayer was of this Christian was that he prayed that a Paul-like person would be risen out of ISIS. So that Paul, you know, Paul changed. He was a persecutor of the Jews and he changed. Or he was a persecutor from the Jews of the Christians and he changed and became a Christian and just spread the gospel everywhere. So this person's prayer was that a Paul would rise up out of ISIS and that Paul would preach the good news to all of those in ISIS and that lives would be changed and more would come to know Christ through that. I just thought that was an awesome prayer, but we really got to go to God with all of these things. We got to take our hate, we got to take our anger, we have to take our gluttony to God and ask God to work on us and to remove those things so that we can love God, love our neighbor. And so Jesus has felt the desire to do all of those things. Yet we can go back to the Hebrews passage. And we can go back throughout Scripture where it proclaims that Jesus never gave in. Jesus never sinned. And so he's the perfect guide for us. And so while he can tell us what we need to not sin, we first need to acknowledge him as our guide. in those moments where all we want to do is just give in to that temptation, where all we want to do is sin, we need to go to Him. We need to go praying for deliverance from that temptation, praying that in that moment, as hard as it can be, that you pray, God, deliver me from this. We need to go back to Scripture. We need to see what Scripture says about those things that we would want to do. What does God say about those things in the Word? See, remember, Jesus, first remember that Satan knew Scripture, and Satan twisted Scripture to tempt Jesus. But second, Jesus used Scripture to refute Satan's twistings with the honest Word. And so we let our guide, Jesus, guide us through the Holy Spirit and through Scripture. And we trust that He knows what we need to get through the wilderness of our lives, and that we never need to pray for Him again to be with us when the animals attack, because they're going to attack, or when we just want to feel the warmth of the fire because we feel cold. But that we know that Emmanuel, our guide in the wilderness of life, is with us, because Emmanuel is God with us, guiding us, showing us how to overcome temptation, and calling us to do the same, not by our own power, but by His power. And so I would say, continue on in your wilderness journey. Just remember, one of the reasons for your hope in Christ, for our hope in Christ, is that Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted, but He overcame those temptations, and He would guide you through your own wilderness of testing, if you would let Him, and show you how you can do the same, because He's been here, He's done this, and He wants to show you and me how to do it too. And so if that isn't a great hope, I don't know what is. Amen.